Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. We bless you in this place, Lord. Just raise your hands to heaven. Father, we just thank you and give you honor and glory this morning. We love your presence and we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding and giving us the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge that you have. Father, we lift up this nation in these times that we're in and the year that we have to choose leaders for this nation, and we ask that you will give us the insight that you have into the people that are running for office for this nation. Because this nation doesn't belong to the president, it doesn't belong to any particular individuals or groups or interests. It belongs to you. You made a covenant with men and women from long ago for the plans and purposes of this nation. And you made it possible for them to come here. And you've never changed your mind on your desire for this nation. So we would ask you to cause those men and women that have an ear for you and have an ear for your direction to be exalted and be placed in those places of authority and influence. And the ones that have rejected you and rejected your influence, that they be removed. Your word declares that the hand of the king is in, the heart of the king is in the hand of you. So we just ask that you would minister to our president and give him supernatural wisdom from you, that he will hear your voice and he'll hear your direction, and no other voice will you follow. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for his protection. We thank you for the protection of his family. And we just give you glory and praise, Father, that if you can make a donkey talk, you can make anything and make anybody a vessel of gold, fit for the master's use, and we just thank you for that. And everybody agree with that prayer, said,
amen.
Amen. No reference there to one or the other, but anyway. How many had a good week?
Yes.
Y'all alive?
Yes.
All right. Hey, I put this little reminder in my Bible so I don't forget to announce it. As I told you last week, we have messages recorded. We have two options. We have MP3s, for those of you who like MP3s, and we have CDs. Now, the way it's going to work for the time being is this. Every recording that we have is recorded as an MP3. It's stored on our computer system. And for those of you that want CDs, really, MP3s too. Fill this out. The way it'll work is this. With CDs, if you fill this out, we only charge the bare minimum on those because we want to make sure we cover the cost of the ink and the label, you know. But, $2. And just fill it out. Put the service dates that you desire, that you want copies of. If you want a CD, make sure you circle the CD here. You know, versus if you want MP3s, circle the MP3. If you want MP3s, for what we're going to do right now until our website has the capacity to download straight, we will send you an invitation in your email to a thing called Dropbox. And Dropbox is a wonderful thing because we can't email an MP3 file to you straight because it's too big. At least we can't. And some of you guys might be able to because you have some high-powered, but we can't. we don't have email that's big enough to hold that size of file. So what we're going to do is we're going to send you an invitation to Dropbox. If you have Dropbox installed on your computer, everything we upload to our, we already have a number of folders there that holds a number of different teachings, everything from ministry training to other things. So if you get invited to a particular box, in this case it would be Best Life Church Messages, once you're invited, every time we upload one of those, it immediately gets downloaded to you. So you'll have them, or you can go there and just download it to you. So as far as MP3 goes, there's no cost there. On the CDs, if you want CDs, just, you know, fill this thing out. Give us a week. The following week, once we have this slip with the dates and your money to go with the slip, you know, kind of keep them together, fold it up, whatever. You know, put it in the offering bucket. And then the following week, we'll have a table back there, and everybody's CDs that ordered CDs will have their CDs on the table, labeled, ready to go with their slips. All we got to do is look for their name. Okay? Try to make it as easy as we can, and, you know, obviously as we go here, we can adjust and do things even better. So they're ready to go, and these slips, I believe, are back on the table back there for those of you that want them. And so there we go. Commercial promo was done. All right. hey, if you would, I know there's something else I want to talk to you about, but I forgot what it was. So just go to John chapter 17. John 17. Oh, I just want to make mention of this in regards to the women's thing. Well, for those of you that were in charge of, you know, putting that thing together, I just want to tell you, boy, I really appreciate the level of excellence that you guys did for that. It was outstanding. And anyway, so thank you so much for your efforts along those lines. Okay. John chapter 17. I could go a number of different directions this morning, and I might, so just ask the Lord to help you. John chapter 17. Before we go there, let me just let's just backtrack a couple of chapters. I want to show you a couple of things here. Go to John 14. John 14, because there is a phrase that Jesus uses three times in two chapters. And if you're like me, a lot of times we have a tendency to read over things and just kind of read and keep on reading. But how many know sometimes in the little things, there's things there, you know? John 14, he says this in verse 18. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me. But you will see me, and we talked about that, it is in the present tense, so it's meaning, it's speaking of an ongoing, constant environment. You will be seeing me. And he wasn't just speaking again of after he raised from the dead, and he was with them for 40 days. Because he wasn't speaking about them seeing with their physical eyes. Because the present tense is ongoing, constant all the time. So he says, you'll be seeing me as an ongoing constant basis. And I want to remind you that that is a striking difference. And we've got to be able to demonstrate this to the world, folks, that the reason Jesus did what he did is because he wanted to give us sight that we did not have as a natural man. We got to come to that place where we can communicate and demonstrate those things to people, because that really is what Jesus did. And I think the biggest challenge that we've had as human beings, kind of being groomed and nurtured by a religious system, is the religious system has basically just taken you out of the world as a natural man, put you in the church as a natural man, and told you can't ever be anything better than that. And that's just not true. Jesus, the Spirit of God, did not call us new creations for no reason. And there has to be a striking difference and a contrast between the model that is the new creation and the old model that is the natural man. And the fact of the matter is Jesus is communicating these things here in John chapter 14, that, and he goes on to say, he says in, again in verse 19, he says, after a little while, the world will no longer see me. And of course, we know from what he has said in the coming chapters that the world cannot receive anything it cannot see. That's the wiring of a natural man. You know, in the Old Testament, it says that man looks on the outward, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward, God looks on the heart. So, because we haven't quite understood what the statement was trying to communicate, we read that verse in the Old Testament and we chastise man because you look on the outward. Bad, bad, bad. Instead of understanding the Spirit of God has given us wisdom and insight on how to reach and connect with the natural man. If they look on the outward, then we should be making demonstration of who is alive in the outward so they can see it. Right? But because we have not understood that, we just kind of blew that off and turned it into a bad thing. When the Spirit of God was basically saying, look, if you're going to connect with natural man, you're going to have to operate in the arena of the seen. Jesus is saying here, he's saying, look, there's going to come a point in time when the natural man's not going to see me anymore. But you're going to be seeing me because I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. And he uses this phrase. He says, and I love this before you get there, but he says this. He said, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I am living. You will live also. And in that day, that is the phrase I wanted to bring your attention to. In that day, he uses this phrase three times in the next two chapters. In that day. In that day. Now, if you put all three of these in that days right next to each other and examine what he's explaining, he's getting ready to tell you the key change in environment that is going to be with human beings after he's raised from the dead. Okay, there's a change coming in the environment with human beings after Jesus is raised from the dead. And he says in this verse, he says, in that day, everybody say in that day, he says, you will know, or literally you'll have personal involvement, and you're going to participate in the results of that personal involvement. How many know Christianity is a full contact sport? I didn't make that up. Somebody else said that, but I thought it was nice, so I borrowed it. So now that I said it, now it's mine. Okay. Christianity is a full contact sport. And it says, you'll know through personal involvement that I am in my Father. Now think about what he's saying here. I am in my Father. In that day, you're going to know because of your personal involvement with me that I am in my Father and that you're in me. Now, if he's in his Father, what is he speaking of? He's speaking of the fact that when his Father says something, he says it. When his Father directs him in certain directions, he goes there. If his Father shows him something, he acts on what he's seeing. So he's explaining what life in this new environment will be like. And he says, in that day, you're going to know because of your personal involvement with me on an ongoing, constant basis that I am in my Father. But it doesn't stop there. You're in me. So then now he's injecting himself into the chain of command, and he's saying, just like the Father shows me things and I do what I see, he speaks to me things and I say what I hear, you're going to do the things that I show you, and you're going to say the things that I speak, that you hear, that came from me. And he says, you're in me and also I'm in you. And that's speaking of the results. I mean, we like results, right? That's the first place he says that. And then he goes on to explain, you know, he who has my commandments, the word has there literally is the word experience. He who experiences my commandments. Now, what is he saying? He's speaking of that scenario that he just got done talking about where Father speaks to him. He acts on what he hears. Father gives him impressions. He acts on what he's impressed. That's directed. He says it's going to be the same thing with you, but you're going to get your direction from me. I'm going to tell you things, and you're going to hear those things and do those things. I'm going to impress upon you things, and you're going to do those things, and you're going to act on those things. You're going to see what the natural man cannot see, and you're going to hear what the natural man cannot hear. Okay? So then he goes on to say, he says, and he who experiences my commandments and keeps them or guards them or gives them final causes them to be in a state of continuance. In other words, we carry them out to their landing place. Them is the one who keeps them. He is the one who loves me, and he who loves me, we love my Father. And then he's asked a question. So now, that's the first place he mentions in that day. Now, go over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And look at verse 23. He says, in that day, it's the same day. Okay, it's talking about the time after the resurrection. So it's the same. You can take all three of these and put them on top of each other, and you can understand exactly what Jesus is speaking of. In that day, he says, you will not question me about anything. Truly I say to you that if you ask the Father for anything in my name, there's that phrase, in my name. He says, he will give it to you. He says, until now you've asked for nothing, or literally you've required for nothing in my name. But he says, require, because the word ask there is the word ateo. It means to require. And you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. And then in verse 25, he goes on to say this, these things I have spoken to you in a figurative language. An hour is coming. Now, I'm going to take some words out here so we cut through the fluff, okay? He said, an hour is coming. I wonder if that hour is in the same time frame as in that day. Do you think? He says, an hour is coming when I will speak to you plainly of the Father. An hour is coming when I will speak plainly to you of the Father. The only thing about this verse is that word of really isn't the word of. That word of is really the word on behalf of. So here we are, we're still talking about I'm in the Father. In that day, you'll because of personal involvement with me, you're going to know that I'm in the Father. How do you know that? Because I'm going to speak to you on behalf of the Father. There's things the Father wants you to plainly understand. And in that day, in that hour is coming a time when Father will speak to you. But I'm going to speak to you on behalf of Him, the things that are in His mind. Okay? That word of there is used. I'll just show you how it looks in another verse. Go over to John 17. And look at verse, look at verse 8. He says, for the spoken words which you gave me, speaking to his Father, the spoken words that you gave me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. Verse 9, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you've given me. The word of and the word on behalf of is exactly the same word in the Greek New Testament, which is the exact same word that's used over in John chapter 16 when he says, I'm going to tell you plainly of the Father. He's not saying he's going to tell us about the Father. He's saying he's going to speak on behalf of Father, things from Father that he wants us to plainly know, that are in the mind of Father. This sounds an awful lot like over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, doesn't it? The Spirit is the one that knows the mind of Father. So he's given us his Spirit so we might clearly know those things that are in the mind of Father. So he says, I will no longer, he says, there's, in verse 25, these things I've spoken to you in a figurative language, but an hour is coming, everybody say in that day, that I will speak to you, and I was taking some words out of this verse, I will speak to you plainly on behalf of the Father. Now, here's the thing that's interesting about that word on behalf of. On behalf of. It's the Greek word is peri, P-E-R-I. And if you wanted a picture to go along with that word, imagine me standing here, and then if you could draw a big circle all the way around me. Okay, the word peri is the word that speaks of everything that is contained within its surrounding, focusing on the one that's in the middle. Other places you could say, well, we'll just leave it at that. So he's saying, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to speak on behalf of the Father. And then he goes on in verse 16, he says, in that day, there it is again, you will require in my name. Now, for those of you maybe that weren't here previously when we went over what in my name means, because I will say, you know, we utilize it and we say, you know, in the name of Jesus, and we command this and that and the other. And that's not wrong, but there's a fuller picture here in what Jesus reveals in John 14, 15, 16, and 17 regarding what he means when he says, when you require in my name. And just for a quick review, look at chapter 14 again. We'll go back to when he started the discourse. And he says in verse 15, you know, really, we shouldn't disconnect verse 15 in John 14 from the next verse because they go together. And it really helps you understand what he means by in my name. Because he says, if you love me, you'll keep or watch over or maintain and cause my words to come to be in a state of continuance. In other words, they don't stop with you. He says, if you love me, you'll keep guard, watch over the words that I say to you. And then verse 16, I will ask the Father. Now the word ask there is the word ask. It's not the word require. It's a different word. Jesus is showing honor to the Father and says, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him. There it is right there, John 14. Okay, so here he says, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper. And then if you go over to verse 26, same chapter, verse 26, same chapter, same subject, he says, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He said, I'm going to ask the Father to send you the helper. The Father's going to send him in my name. Okay, now to give you even more clarity, go over to John chapter 15, verse 26. He says, when the helper comes, whom I will send. So we have to, and look at one last verse real quick, chapter 16, verse 7. Chapter 16, verse 7 says, but I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So we have to have the understanding, when Jesus is speaking of doing things in his name, we have to understand that he's saying it came from me first. Right? Does that make sense? Could we say that that's what he's speaking about here in reference to these three verses? I mean, if it was just one obscure verse, I could see how we could say, well, probably not, maybe not that. But, you know, in a number of places, he clearly shows you, especially in the context of chapter 14, 15, and 16, being in the Father and showing you the flow of from Father's words to him and then from him to us, that it's obvious that what he's talking about when he says, when you require something in my name, it came from him first. But hold on. He said, in that day, you're going to know through personal involvement that I'm in the Father. So here's what we see. It came from Father. Jesus took it. Gave it to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the one. He said, all that the Father has is mine, but the Holy Spirit's going to take of mine and show it to you. So it all comes from the Father. Jesus gives it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives it to us. And then says, require this. Oh, okay. How many know it's a lot better to be making requirements and commanding things when you're getting the information from the one that can see what's going on?
Yeah.
Instead of, well, let me try this. I heard this message once in my life. And you start commanding this and commanding that, and I bind this and I loose this and I do this, that, and the other. And you're going through the whole mental Rolodex of every message you ever heard of anything you're ever supposed to be doing. And you just kind of go through the list. And Jesus is saying, look, let's make it a little easier. In that day, you're going to know because of your personal involvement with me that I'm in my Father. And the reason you're going to know that I'm in my Father is because I'm going to give you everything he says. And I'm in you. You're in me because you're going to get what I give you. And you're my son or my daughter, so you hear my voice. And no other voice do you follow. Isn't it much better just to go with what Jesus said about us instead of what religion says about us? Well, God's not talking, especially he ain't talking to you. I think I'll go with what Jesus. Jesus said, I'm his son and I hear his voice and no other voice do I follow. And then he through the Spirit of God said this to me. You know, this is in my Bible, at least, you know, I don't know, you know, your Bible might be different. But in my Bible, it says that he's made me an able minister of the new covenant. And that new covenant has greater displays of glory than the old covenant did. So therefore, I should expect in that day, which is today, because of my personal involvement with Father, the result of my personal involvement with him is going to be, I'm going to hear and I'm going to know things from him. And when I act on those things, results happen. Okay? So he says, in that day, chapter 16, he says, in that day, he says, you're going to require the Father anything that has come from me. And the reason why Father's going to do it is because he came from him first. And he says, I'm going to speak to you clearly about things, you know, on behalf of Father. In that day, verse 26, he says, in that day you will ask in my name or you'll require things in my name. He said, I'm not saying that I'm going to request of the Father on your behalf. I'm telling you in verse 27 that the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Now, we went into John 17 last week and we talked about some of the things that Jesus prayed to the Father. How many know Jesus gets his prayers answered? Right? If anybody gets his prayers answered, Jesus gets his prayers answered, right? So, he talks about manifesting the Father's name, and we talked about last week the fact that has to do with, you know, in verse 6 he said, I manifest your name. Well, it's tied to verse 8 that says, the spoken words that you gave me, I gave to them. So that's how he manifested his name. It was by giving Father's words continuance to the landing point they were meant for. So you remember Jesus said this. He says, you know, if you abide in my words, you're going to abide in my love. Because the words that come out of Jesus' mouth and Father's mouth, they are love. That's why it's so important to stay in the Word all the time, because things that the world deposits in you or tries to deposit in you or tries to get your thought process hooked up to, they're not full of love. They're not full of building you up. They're not full of believing the best of you. They're full of tearing you down to minimize your influence. That's what they're for. So we have to stay hooked up to the love faucet and just keep letting Daddy tell us who we are. Right? He says, I manifested your name because I gave him what you spoke to me. I gave that to them. He said, and I'm asking you, he said this in verse 11. He says, Holy Father, keep them in your name. In other words, keep them in your name, which you've given me. Isn't that fascinating? He's saying, keep them in your name that you've given me. And he just got done saying that how he manifested Father's names was because Father was speaking to him. And he gave those words that Father spoke to him to the disciples. And he turns around and says, keep them in your name like that you gave me. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that you have the ability to hear Father the same way Jesus did? That there's not some kind of, well, that was Jesus, and, you know, then there's me. According to what Jesus is praying here, he's saying that in that day, all of his brothers and sisters, if I can use that term without, you know, sounding sacrilegious to whoever's listening to this recording, he's saying that we have the ability to hear Father and act on Father's words exactly the same way that Jesus did. And that was one of the very specific things that Jesus requested of Father. He says, keep them in your name, which you've given me, so that they may be one even as we are. Now, and he says, you know, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name. How? By giving them the words you gave me. Okay. It's amazing to me that, you know, I still see folks that when they talk about being one, they talk about being one this way. You know, I remember in the 80s we used to sing this song, you know, make us one, da, 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 you know, but it was this way. You know, we might as well held hands and rocked back and forth and sang around a Christmas tree. But that really, I mean, that's good because, I mean, if you're one this way, then you're going to be one this way too, right? Because John says in 1 John, you know, if you love the children, you're going to love the daddy. So it's important that we are, you know, this way. But I want to be this way because I'm this way first. Because if we're not this way first, then we're just this way on our own efforts. And I love you as long as you talk nice to me. But if you look at me cross-eyed, I don't love you no more. Well, that shows you we're not loving this way first. We're not one this way first. If you're one this way first, then how the person next to you on either side treats you is irrelevant. Because you're still going to love them because you're one this way. Father may not like what they're doing and what they're acting, but he'll never stop loving them. So if we're one with him, then his influence is going to be coming through us towards somebody else, regardless of how they treat you. You know, the thing about it is, folks, we've got to come to the place where we understand this. If there was never another human being on the planet, you can still live as a fulfilled individual. You know, and I don't say that because I am wired a certain way. I say that because that's Bible. If we're looking for people to be fulfilled, we're plugged in wrong. Okay, I mean, there is something to be said about, you know, having good God friends, and, you know, we love good God friends. And, you know, I'm not giving you this speech because we're getting ready to go be hermits someplace, but I'm just saying that, you know, we need to watch where we want to plug in all the time. You know, I've met people that if they weren't around people, life was all hell. Because they were looking for the persons that surrounded them. They weren't fulfilled in life until they were surrounded by people. And I don't know if that was because it made them feel like they were needed. I don't know. But the fact is you have the Spirit of God in you. Right? If you have the Spirit of God in you, then the very thing we should be developing is being one with him. And when we're one with him, We're going to influence and affect and connect with people around us, but we're not going to base our well-being and our emotional stability based on whether or not people around us are looking at us right, talking to us or not talking to us, whatever. We're going to base our emotional stability based on the fact that I'm one with Him, and He's, like we're saying this morning, He's my passion. And since He's my passion, I just love people. What did John say? Since He so dramatically loved us, we should love others. The loving others part is not an effort on your part. It's an overflow from Him through you onto others. Because His love is so intense and so awesome and so powerful that it's just like you just get blown over. And it just comes out of you. It's not an effort. If we're trying to love people and it's an effort, then you're trying to do it in your own natural ability. And you need to raise your sights. You're looking at the wrong thing. Okay? So, he's in John 17, he says, keep them in your name, the same name you've given me. In other words, the same words you're speaking to me, speak to them. Same way, same system. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Because when I realized what he was saying, it changed my whole world. Man will not live by bread alone. Man will not live by figs alone. But, okay, man will not live by chihuahuas alone. Okay. I said it. Okay, you happy? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father, man is designed to live by every word that proceeds out of Father's mouth. You know, when I was growing up, there was always this talk about the New World Order. Ooh, New World Order. Ooh. It was always a bad thing. Let me just tell you something. As soon as Jesus was raised from the dead, buddy, the New World Order was in place. Because now you had a species of man on the earth that was not just a natural man that went by what he heard, went by what he saw. There was a species of man that now was seeing things that natural man can't see and hearing things that natural man couldn't hear. And they came from Father. Jesus did that for us. Go over in the short time we have left. Go over to the book of Mark. I want to show you something. I was reading this one day and it just struck me. How many of you ever had that happen? You read verses you've read all the time and all of a sudden you read them and whoa, I never saw that before. Mark chapter 10. Oh, actually, no, it's not. Chapter 10, Mark chapter 9. And this is also over in Matthew. But Mark chapter 9, Jesus is saying to them, he says, truly I say to you that there are some of you, some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they, what, the kingdom. What's the word? See the kingdom of God. And so then, after that, he says, some of you are not going to see death until you see the kingdom of God after it's come with power. Everybody say power. So there's two things that I see connected here with the kingdom of God. Something's visible, and there's power. He goes on to say, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John on a field trip. And they brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus. Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. For he did not know what he was saying because they had become terrified. And then verse 7 says, then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the clouds and said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Now what I want you to see here, if you go back up to verse 2, it says 6 days later after Jesus said, some of you are going to see the kingdom of God come with power. Now let me ask you, was there lightning that showed up here? Flashes of lightning, thunder, earthquakes. Was there any of that? Where's the power? Isn't that what we usually associate with power, is earthquakes, thunder, lightning, you know, massive displays of raw power? But he says, some of you are going to see the kingdom of God come with power. And 6 days later, it says that he took with him Peter, James, and John, brought them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured. What's the next words? What is it? Notice it didn't say that they fell asleep. Do you notice that? They didn't fall into a trance. They weren't sleeping and they had a vision. How many know these guys were awake? As you're sitting here, they're awake. Well, some of y'all are awake. So what happened was all of a sudden they were seeing, but then the veil that separated the unseen and the seen was lifted, and they saw Jesus for how he really was. And not only did they see Jesus, they saw Moses and Elijah. Their eyes were wide open. I want to submit this to you. That's the way Adam lived. That's the way man was created to live. It wasn't until Isaiah 25, where it says that the man is under a veil of darkness, that, you know, describing what happened to Adam, that he lost that seeing into. But I want to show you this. He says this. He says there's two things that are associated with the kingdom here. And it's seeing things and hearing things. He says some of you are going to come into, and you're going to see the kingdom of God come with power. See, a lot of times we think power is some, you know, magnificent whatever display of, you know, whatever in the natural arena. But I want to submit to you that you know, even in the writings of Paul, he talked about, you know, the kingdom is not in words, but it's in power. What's the power? Seeing what men can't see and hearing what men can't hear. And acting on those things. And Jesus told us before he left that the same way that he was one with Father was the same way that he opened the door for us to be one with Father. Not a lesser degree, the same degree. I love these verses. Acts 10:38. This is Jesus went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil because Father was along with him. The word with him there is in his midst. Father was in his midst. Now, do you think Father is in your midst? He is via Jesus, via the Spirit of God, yes. He's in your midst. See, these things, you know, we need to meditate on these truths because it's great to hear them. But if we don't meditate on the reality of these things, it just doesn't seat. You know what I mean when I say that? Some of these things, they need to seat in our understanding to where it permanently alters our perspective forever. Not just something we got a hold of. Oh, that was cool. I liked it. Oh, that sounded good. Oh, yeah. But then, you know, 2 weeks from now, we don't have the insight. I want to show you this, and I got other verses, but for the sake of time, I'll skip them. Pick them up another time. Go over to Let's see. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. I could take you to Isaiah 61 or Luke chapter 4, verse 8. That's where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to, because he's anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach, proclaim, deliver." And that's quoted from Isaiah 61, but he's talking about the glory. Remember Jesus in John 17? He said, "Father, give the same glory that you gave me, I'm giving them." So let's not, we try to unspiritualize things and make it, you know, take it out of the goofy arena. What is he talking about? It's hearing and seeing things from the Spirit of God that came from through Jesus from the mind of Father. But notice what Isaiah 11 says. And we've all read these verses, I'm sure. Isaiah chapter 11 says this. It says, "Then a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse." So we know this is a prophetic word speaking of the coming of the second member of the Godhead into the earth as a man, obtaining a name that's above every name, Yeshua. We call him Jesus. "A shoot will spring forth the stem of Jesse, a branch from his roots will bear fruit." Look at verse 2. "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." And then he just lets you in, gives you insight into the results of that Spirit of the Lord resting upon him. "He will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. He will have the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the reverence of the Lord. He will delight in the reverence of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear." Now, isn't that a great verse? Isn't that an awesome verse describing Jesus? Isn't that an awesome verse describing what Jesus made you? Can we make that jump? Because Jesus said, as he told the Father, he says, "Father, as you sent me, I'm sending them." Well, Jesus wouldn't send us out with any less equipment than he had. Right? Can you imagine some of those scenarios he walked into and he didn't have the ability to judge by what his, you know, to not judge by what his eyes were seeing? One of these days we're going to get into showing you, you know, all the different scenarios that Jesus was in and how being led by the Spirit is explained in the text. He just knew what they were thinking. He perceived their malice. He perceived their wickedness. He just, there was a knowing for him. This is in reference to this verse. "He'll delight in the reverence of the Lord and he will not judge by what he sees." I wonder if there's a connection there between reverencing the Lord versus reverencing the situation. I wonder if there's a connection there, but being able to not judge by what you see according to where your focus of reverence is. Is anybody making, understand what I'm saying? The reverence of the Lord, he's not going to judge by what his eyes sees or make a decision by what his ears hear. Why? Because the new creation man, who Jesus was the first model, he was the prototype, doesn't judge by what his eyes see or by what his ears hear, because the new creation man, the new model, is created to hear what natural man doesn't hear and to see what natural man doesn't see. I don't know about you, but see, this is exciting for me. I get excited about this. Maybe y'all can, you know, either you're in deep thought or I'm speaking all over your heads or y'all think about lunch. But this is what Jesus did for us. And, you know, take what he prays over in John 17, 21. "The glory which you've given me, Father, I'm going to give to them so that they may be being on an ongoing, constant basis. One, I put in there with you," because that's what he's talking about, "just as you and I are one." I'm going to be in them, and you're going to be in me, and they're going to be made complete in that unity. And because of that completeness and that unity, because they're going to see things that the world can't see and hear things the world can't hear, because of that complete connection, and the result of that complete connection, he says, the world will know. And, you know, the margin of your Bible, if you have a margin, will say this: the world will continually know because of that connection and that being one. As you and I are one, Father, and then they become one with us. Because of that connection, the world's going to continually know as a result of that connection that you sent me, and that you love me even as you love them as even as you love me. That's the most awesome, awesome truth. You know, we want to see the world come to Jesus. Just live connected. I mean, you could try it other ways, I guess. We could try to memorize 47 different ways to heaven, and you know, the three spiritual laws and the 27. You know, really important laws, and 105 laws. If you don't do it, you're going to hell. I don't know, whatever the system is. I don't know. There's so many of them out there. And you know, whatever. I mean, if that's what people want to do, fine. But Jesus gives us what the system is right there in John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. Just live in the vine. Learn how to live connected here. And then as a result of that, people are just going to know, man, you got something I don't have. And they're going to know that Father sent Jesus. There won't be any debate on, well, he's just a good man. You know why the world says he's just a good man? Because they don't got any other version of him. The only version they got is what the TV has shown. But that's not first place and personal, is it? That's not as a result of the kingdom coming. You know, I want to teach a long series on the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom's in you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. And the kingdom of God is what? The characteristics of the kingdom are you see things and you hear things. They showed it in Mark chapter 9. We can't talk about the kingdom if we're not talking about things that we're seeing and things that we're hearing. Because the kingdom is not anything else but power. And power is what you're seeing, what you're hearing. Beloved, I wish that you be in health and prosper as your soul prospers. Your soul prospers because your soul is the movie screen of your spirit. Amen. You getting out of this today? Go ahead and stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a declaration over these people that they're your kids and they hear your voice. And no other voice do they follow. But they do hear your voice. That you can speak plainly to us things that are from Father. Because we know all things come from you, through you, and they all go back to you. Thank you for giving us revelation and insight into what it means to live in the vine, to require things in your name that came from you, that really came from Father, but because our feet are on the ground in this planet called Earth, the authority stops with us because you bought it for us. And so I just thank you for that. And I declare that every person in this room is an able minister of the new covenant. Yes. And as a result of ministering that new covenant, we will expect the manifestation of your glory to be on a greater degree and a greater scale than that which was accompanying the old covenant, because you said so. And so we thank you for that. I thank you for the days ahead that where you're taking this church and you're taking your people. I thank you for the manifestations of Father being in our midst. That we're carriers of the blessing. And everywhere we go, that's where it is. And I just thank you for that. Thank you for impacting this city and the surrounding cities through the people in this room that just love to live connected with you. Everybody agree with that prayer said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.